This is the sound of obsession. Obsession is a Cuban hip-hop duo. They invited our colleague David Green for a visit when he was in Havana a few weeks ago.
Their names are Magia Lopez and Alexei Rodriguez, but they told us through our interpreter that they usually go by their nicknames.
Empezamos. Nosotros somos Obsesión. Ella es Magia. Yo soy tipo este. Prefiero que me llamen así.
Her name is Magia, and he is este tipo.
El tipo este.
El tipo este, which means this dude.
Magic and this dude.
Yes.
Are the rapper group Obsession.
Yes.
I like that.
Ahí está. Yeah.
Magic and this dude sing about social justice, fighting inequality, racism, and sexism. In this song, they're asking why Cubans have forgotten their revolution, which brought socialism to the island 6 decades ago and aimed to make society more equal.
La revolución que se hizo aquí, ¿qué fue? Lo que pasó con la memoria de este país. No sé a ti, a nosotros no nos representa.
We went to visit Obsession to help answer one of the big questions we brought to Cuba. What does change mean in a society where change has been such a buzzword? These artists say, for one thing, the world is learning more about Cuba, and vice versa. Even though the island is just 90 miles from Florida, it was long isolated. Rodriguez remembers the 1990s when the government frowned on hip-hop, which made its way to Cuba on cassette tapes.
Se veía el movimiento como algo...
It was seen as something that came from the U.S. So if it comes from the U.S., it must be bad.
Today, Cubans are listening to music from around the world. Few people have access to the internet, but people do get MP3s from friends, or they can take thumb drives to black market businesses and fill up on music. But Cubans are also much more free to travel these days. Obsession has been around Latin America and to the U.S.
Before, we used to get all our information from, like, the exchange was a one-way street. It was people who would come to Cuba, Venezuelans, Mexicans, Chileans, some Spaniards, but that it wasn't us going there, and now that has changed.
So those are the voices of two musicians in Havana. Here is another Cuban artist who is seeing the same thing.
I always said, the moment to be in Cuba, it's now. There is more and more interchange between Cuban and abroad. There is more and more Cuban going outside, bringing new ideas.
That's the visual artist known as Candelario. He goes by just that one name. He has an art collective that works with neighbors to improve life in their crowded community outside Havana. Candelario came to Miami for an exhibition recently and stopped by at a studio to chat along with the curator of the exhibition, Elizabeth Cerejido. Elizabeth is part of Florida's Cuban-American community, which has for years been hostile to the Castro regime, feeling that it's repressive and backwards. Now she visits her relatives in Cuba frequently, and she's trying to build bridges between Cuban and Cuban-American artists. But as you're about to hear, connections between Cubans and Cuban-Americans can be complicated.
There are many instances when I travel to Cuba that I do not go visit my family, and I do that purposefully, because they don't understand this idea that perhaps, you know, Elizabeth wants to engage with Cuba and with Cubans on a very different level outside of that exile Cuba narrative. I think we've had 50 years of that, and that conversation needs to change.
And there was one other voice in the room, a Cuban-American artist, Layden Rodriguez Casanova.
It's always seemed like the distance between Miami and Havana have always been so far, and they're just so close. Not just in distance, but in culture.
Layden's trying to eliminate that distance. He plans to show his own work at an exhibition of Cuban-American artists in Havana soon. Candelario, Elizabeth, and Layden each have views of Cuba shaped by different pasts. Layden told us how his parents escaped Cuba with him as a boy on the Mario boatlift in 1980.
For my parents, the difficulties were just day-to-day, the ability to find food, just a constant daily exchange and trade and bartering system of how to find milk. And from my side of the family, they're still going back there on a regular basis, taking a lot of basic supplies to family members. It seems to be very much a class divide there, as it is here, in terms of poverty versus affluence. The stories that my family's bringing back are working class people that are having a really tough time there, And it's interesting how, you know, at least the ideology of the revolution was sort of to do away with that.
Candelario, can I just ask you one question about what Leighton just said? His parents, 34 years ago, struggled to find milk. Is mm-hmm. that the reality for some families in Cuba still today?
No, absolutely not. This is funny because I have a few friends that had told me the same thing, and I promised them, you can find everything you want.
Mm-hmm.
It's true that sometimes when you want to buy a special thing, for sure it's difficult to find it. But the rest, milk or meat or whatever, is there every day.
If you have the money to buy it.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
comes, how but, do you but, get that money?
Yeah, but this is $40 in the life. I mean, that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's another thing.
Yeah,
I don't want to talk about money. I'm just talking about possibility.
Right, but I don't think you can divorce the question from the broader sociopolitical environment, which is that most people who make $20 a month cannot go and buy milk. Yes, it's in the market. Mm-hmm. But if that bottle of milk is $5, that's mm-hmm. one-fifth of your salary.
I agree, but what if you have money and then there is nothing to buy? That's why I'm trying to speak to answer the question really. Now you are in Havana and you go to one direction. There is a huge supermarket. There is another agro. I don't know how to say that. I mean,
like a farmer's market.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about money. Okay, with your salary you cannot. But hello, there is Cuban with $20 salary, but they have an Audi car. That come from, I don't know, I mean, I don't want to wonder.
Well, relatives from the United States.
Yeah, it could be. Not just from the United States, but from abroad, yes.
Artists will often tell you that you can see different things in the same image, and maybe the same can be said for Cuba. These three seem to interpret what's happening on the island differently, but they acknowledge the same reality. While there's been progress, the portrait of Cuba remains largely unchanged. People are struggling to find their place in a society where there's quality public education and health care, but where the price of a bottle of milk can trigger a debate about the future.
In Cuba, people adapt to the situation they had, and they tried to survive, I mean, in a way, using a lot of jokes.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the reason I always said that Cuba is the best place to be a child and then to be an old man. But in the middle, you have to move.
That's the voice of Cuban artist Candelario. We also heard from Cuban-American artist Leighton Rodriguez Casanova and Miami art curator Elizabeth Cerejido.